Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, March 28th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 16, starting with the first paragraph, An Alcoholic and His Cups, through two paragraphs ending with, And through us, or we perish. And the comments will be on both paragraphs. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Elena A.M., the 12 Traditions, Libby E. The readers of the text are Nan K., Cindy D., and Jordan L. The share ID for Wednesday, March 27th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 12,708. That's 12708. And for Thursday, today, March 28th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 12,711. That's 12711. Our newcomer greeter is Ramona A., and our announcements coordinator is Leslie M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Elena A.M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Elena.
Thanks, Mo H. My name is Elena A.M. I'm from Collegeville, Pennsylvania, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And here are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for this service opportunity, and I pass.
Thank you, Elena A.M. And I will now ask Libby E. to read the 12 traditions. Libby.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning. I'm Libby E. I'm a compulsive eater in New York. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except the matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Libby E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and then once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 16, the end of Bill's story, starting with the first paragraph, An Alcoholic in His Cups, and we're reading through two paragraphs ending with, And through us or we perish, and the comments will be on both, and I will now ask Nan Kay to get us started. Good morning, Nan.
Hi, I'm Nan Kay from Northern Michigan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my house. He could not or would not see our way of life. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity. But just underneath, there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. A couple of weeks ago, this line was pointed out to me, and I don't ever remember noticing it before. But I believe my higher power wanted me to see the work that he is accomplishing in me. I came to OA through AA and I was sober, but I was an unlovely creature. I was not working the steps. I was living in the bedevilments. I was overweight. I was having trouble with personal relations. I was depressed, miserable, feeling useless, unhappy, and was no help to others. But my higher power led me to a fellow OAer who took the time to share his experience, strength, and hope with me. Since coming into OA, I am moving out of the bedevilments into the promises by working the steps. My higher power is a higher power of transformation and restoration. I am experiencing a vast amount of fun. It says later in the Big Book, we are not a glum lot. If newcomers could see no joy or fun in our existence, they wouldn't want it. So we think cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst into merriment over a seemingly tragic experience out of the past. But why shouldn't we laugh? We have recovered and have been given the power to help others. There is deadly earnestness. states have to work 24 hours a day in Andreas or we perish. And I'm reminded when I read this paragraph of the responsibility pledge, always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. I thank you and I pass.
Thank you, Nan K, for getting us started. I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 16, first paragraph, an alcoholic in his cups, through two paragraphs ending with, and through us are we perish, and I will now take names.
Can you say what I'm saying?
Stephanie N.
Stephanie N. Press star 1 to unmute. Stephanie N. We have. Anyone else?
Roz
Jana
G.
M.
Roz G. After Roz G, who was that?
Jana M.
Jana M.
K. K.
Hello, this is
K. G.
No, Kate Lockpaul.
Say that name again.
Oh.
K. Lockpaul.
Oh, P as in Powell. Okay. K-P. Okay. Anyone else?
Judy L.
Marilyn,
Judy.
I got you. Who was after Marilyn?
Judy L.
Judy L.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And anyone else, or we'll stop there. Okay. I've got Stephanie N., Roz G., Jana. Oh, Jana, I'm not sure if it's an N or an M, sorry. K, P, Marilyn T., and Judy L. All right. Stephanie N., get us started. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Stephanie N., recovered in Kansas. And the part that jumped out at me was, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. And before recovery, I was an unlovely creature. 24 hours a day, I lived in the bedevilments, and I was ruled mostly by fear and selfishness. And the fear fueled my selfishness and my desire to control. But since I have recovered, I use, when I notice the bedevilments coming up, I use that as a warning sign, and I don't have to stay there anymore. And I look at that as, you know, a sign that I've missed something in my nightly inventory and I need to pause and I need to find out what's going on. And I don't have to stay there anymore. Before recovery, before program, I didn't know how to get out of that behavior. And I hated that I was living that way, but I didn't know a way out. And so I would just try to explain it to people. Why am I upset? You know, the self-pity and all of that. And I would try to explain it away, desiring so much to be understood. But now that I'm recovered, I don't have to seek to be understood anymore. I don't have to go into the self-seeking. I have to clean up my side of the street. I'm the only one who has to understand why I'm acting like that. And I have to look at my part and fix my part so that I can be lifted out of the bedevilments and so that I will not be that unlovely person that is hard to be around. And I'm grateful for this way of living. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie N. Roz G., followed by Jana. Roz?
Good morning. I did share yesterday, and I didn't hear any like silence, and I'm like, okay, I got to share on this. It's too much fun. All right. Well, I'm Roz G., and I am a compulsive overeater recovered in Los Angeles and back to work after a three-month recovery time from shoulder surgery. And that was no fun, but it was fun because I got to be on the meeting a lot. And I just wanted to share about the fun, and I love the lead share, how she went into, you know, that we are not a glum lot. I'd say that probably the first thing that attracted me about face-to-face meetings is the laughter. And I was so freaking serious about myself. I could not, you know, if anybody said anything to me that I thought was a little bit off, I would get very insulted. And I remember one of my first sponsors told me that I came off as arrogant, and I got mad at her. And then one of my sponsors told me, it sounds to me like you're telling God what to do, and I didn't want to speak to her for a week. And now, usually, when I hear something like that from a sponsor or a fellow program member or somebody sharing about themselves, I laugh. And I think that laughter is a great medicine. It's fun to be able to come and laugh at ourselves. And yes, on the opposite side, it is a good thing for someone, it's a beautiful thing for a newcomer or anybody to come into a meeting and say, you know what, I feel like this. Or when I first, for speaking for myself, when I first came in, I shared about how my mother bought me a black sweater for Christmas and my two sisters colored sweaters, you know, and the nodding heads of identification and compassion, because I felt like I was so insulted, you know, that my mother bought me the black one, you know. Just so many character defects under that, and getting insulted so quick. I know why she did it. She did it out of love, but I took it as an insult. I thought, well, she did it because I'm fat and my sisters are thin. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter today. Today, I can look at myself and see my character defects, laugh at some of them, realize that some of them I need to ask God to remove because I'm powerless to remove them. And I'm grateful for this fellowship. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Roz G. Jaina, first initial, M. Jaina M, followed by KP.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Jaina M, a compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. And really grateful to be here. Thank you for your service, Mo. Thank you, everyone, for being here and for everyone sharing. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. That was something that I had highlighted when I first read this. That was one of the first lines I remember the first time I ever read the Big Book. That was one of the ones that really stood out to me, because I used to actually say, I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like a creature. Like, that was literally the word that I used to describe myself, because I felt absolutely driven by this compulsion to do things that I knew were harmful to me, to do things that I kept saying I didn't want to do, but I kept doing over and over and over again, things that were destroying my life from the inside out, that ultimately made it unmanageable, that ultimately got me up over 300 pounds, that ultimately got me into suicidal depression, multiple panic attacks each and every day. You know, just a living death, honestly. You know, I just wanted to hide in my room with, bags. My cups were boxes and bags and containers. And I'd fall asleep eating and wake up with food still next to my face and just start eating it again. I was an unlovely creature indeed. And I can never, ever let myself forget that, how disgusting I felt on the inside, regardless of people telling me how worthy of love I was and how beautiful I was, regardless of my size, and what a good person I was, you know, all that stuff. I couldn't hear any of it, none of it, because I was so wrapped up in the self-hatred and the self-abuse. And I realized I came into OA not to lose weight, but to lose self-hate. That was the big key for me, was focusing on that and focusing in on self-love. And, you know, the last thing that I would say too is that, you know, faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. You know, my disease does not ever take a vacation. I used to go out of town and like program would just sort of stay home, and, you know, I would test the limits of my program and come home and need to double down on it. I went to Costa Rica a couple of weeks ago with my husband, and I absolutely took my program with me. Called my sponsor, did my regular stuff, and because my disease doesn't take a break, it doesn't take a vacation. And while there is a lot of levity, there is a deadly earnestness here, because this is life and death for me. And if you're a true compulsive overeater, it is for you too. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Jaina M. KP, followed by Marilyn T.
Hello. This is
Kay
Pete. I am from Malden, South Carolina. And I would like to share about this having fun and merriment. I have been abstinent and in the program for almost a year. I am gratefully recovered. I belong to an organization that has a convention very often, a conference. And last weekend, I spent my whole weekend there, and I had a great time. But one of their little hallmarks is chocolate. Everybody has to have chocolate everywhere. There are huge bowls full of chocolate candy in the hospitality room, and everybody indulges. This is a time when they leave their diet at home and go ahead and eat the chocolate. And, of course, I was determined not to, but I was a little concerned about the position I was putting myself in by going to this. So I did a lot of prep work, praying, asking my fellows to keep me in their prayers. And I had the best time I've ever had at one of these conferences. I would sit in hospitality, and they would pass me this big bowl of chocolate, and I would smile and say, thank you, and I would pass it to the next one. And people finally started asking me, you're not eating any. Why? What's going on? And I just told them, well, I have stopped eating sugar of any kind. And I figure they're going to come back and ask me more about that later. I could tell by the questioning looks on their face that they probably want to talk to me privately about it. And I will very happily, with merriment, share what has happened to me. Not only am I abstinent, I'm happily abstinent. I have a very close relationship with my higher power that I had seemed to lose. I was struggling with that last year. And that is back, and I am so, so very grateful. And I will pass.
Thank you, KP. Marilyn T., followed by Judy L.
Thank you.
Oh, hi, Chef.
Thanks, Mo. Appreciate it.
Yes. It's Marilyn T.'s turn.
Hello. Hi, my name is Josh. I am currently living in the United Kingdom. And if I'm being realistic, I'm just over 100 kg. And in my opinion, you know, yesterday, I was coming back from the gym. I'm trying to lose some weight, you know. I'm trying to look respectable on the streets. And then I just saw someone with a McDonald's burger. Oh, my God. I don't know how to describe it. I just had the sensation of missing them. I need some assistance.
Well, Josh, we'll ask you to stay on the line at the end, 10 till the hour, and you can leave your name and your phone number as a newcomer, and people will greet you. But we'll go on with our shares from the big book. Thank you, Josh. Marilyn, you'll be our next person.
Thank you. I'm just saying, it was so delicious.
You're welcome. Thank you, Josh. All right. Go ahead, Marilyn. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. This is Marilyn, a grateful for today, compulsive overeater, recovered through the grace of this program. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. You know, that's the faith is what's really kept me sane emotionally, because that's really where it is. Doing right by this program, sharing this, acting the way this book instructs us that we need to live our life to be of maximum service to our higher power and to this program. And unless you're willing to do this 24 hours a day to everybody you meet and in contact with, then you're really not sharing the program. If we just share it between ourselves, and that's great, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying what I've noticed that this program helps me do is it helps me treat everyone the same. It helps me be centered. It helps me be gracious, polite. I mean, you'd think most people have this, but as a compulsive overeater, I actually got to say it was all about me, 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 which we all know. So, you know, I don't want to take up a lot of time. I just want to say that thank God I no longer think my life is valueless. No longer do I think I have nothing to contribute to society. I do. One person can make a difference in the world. And it is really, quite frankly, all in this book. This book, the first 103 pages. And working with a sponsor, identifying your alcoholic binge foods, behaviors, and ingredients, and refraining from them, as it shows in the Big Book of Alcoholics for Anonymous. And I thank you so much for letting me share. I appreciate it. I pass.
Thank you, Marilyn T. And before I go to Judy L., let me remind everybody where we are for our second round of people who'd like to share. We're on page 16, first paragraph, an alcoholic in his cups, reading through two paragraphs ending with, "And through us or we perish." And the comments are on both. And now I'll ask Judy L. to share, and then we'll get some more names. Judy L., can you press star 1 to unmute? I think I heard a Judy L.
Hi, this is Judy L. Can you hear me?
I can, Judy. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Judy L. This is the first time that I'm actually sharing on this meeting. I'm in Oregon. I'm compulsive overeater, restrictor with severe bulimia and anorexia in recovery, and have had over 40 years of overeating and binging and purging. And I came to OA and started reading the Big Book and doing the 12 steps, and I've had unbelievable abstinence. It's been a miracle for me. So this program is working. So thank you, everyone, for sharing and for the service. What stands out to me in this reading, as I go through the recovery process, is the return of innate laughter and joy inside, wanting to just have joy, wanting to have laughter, because when you live in the disease, or I've lived in the disease of binging and purging daily and being a workaholic, there was little joy to be found in that. But when working the 12 steps, surrendering to a higher power, which is God, and starting to feel the release of the pull of this disease, it just leads to wanting to feel good and to want to share and reach out and help other people. But the one thing that I have really been concentrating on is my faith in God, but also restoring that childhood joy that I could feel. You know, where is that at? How does that come back into my life? Because moment to moment, it's hard enough, you know, doing the steps and doing the program. There has to be joy that's being experienced in it as well. And so that's really a powerful point in this book, is really the concentration on joy. And I believe that God wants us to have joy. He doesn't want us to have disease. And again, that's my higher power. And as I recover, the joy is something I pray for, and it's something I want to share with others, and so that we can laugh our way through this and get to the other side of pure joy and faith and recovery, or abstinence, I should say. So with that, thank you, everyone, and thank you for your service, and I will pass.
Well, thank you very much, Judy L., and welcome to our meeting, and thanks for sharing on the first time. I'll now take names of those who'd like to share on these two paragraphs.
Robin D.Z., Beatrice O.,
Penny C.,
Rebecca B.,
Penny C., what was Rebecca, your last
Marissa
initial?
L.
B. Marissa L. E. Okay.
Rebecca B.
B, okay. And Marissa L.?
Larissa L.
Okay. Oh, Larissa.
Beatrice O.
I got you, Beatrice.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Patty T.
Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you. All right, so I have Robin. Robin, DZ. Is it DZ? Okay, and Beatrice O and Penny C, Rebecca B, Marissa L, and Patty T. Okay, I think we can get you all. We'll work at it. Robin DZ, you're on.
Good morning. This is Robin DZ from South Carolina. The 12-step program found in the Big Book and the Fellowship of Vision for You has helped restore my hope and my joy and strengthen my faith. I am no longer an antisocial, almost reclusive person. I'm finding my place in this world. I have many phone friends who I hope to meet someday as I travel this path of life. I have stopped the yo-yo dieting. I have gotten off the merry-go-round. The forward progress of this program is real. No more hamster wheel for me. I have faith that recovery can be real and lasting. I have hope to share with others and do so with joy. By sharing the hope, joy, and faith I have found, it ensures that I, nor those I share with, have to perish from this disease of the body and twist of the mind that is very deadly. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin DZ. Beatrice O, followed by Penny C. Good morning, Beatrice. Good to hear you.
Good morning, Mo. This is Beatrice from Los Gatos, California, a recovered compulsive overeater, food addict. And, I was reading this, listening to this paragraph, and one of the sentences that said, this poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. And I've met a lot of people in this program from being around for such a long time. I've had a lot of friends who, they didn't actually go out and commit suicide, but they died from compulsive overeating. They've had heart attacks, and they've gained and lost hundreds of pounds, and their heart finally gave out. So I've had three people die from this disease. And anyway, so I just can't imagine having someone commit suicide in my home. I don't know how I would be able to handle that. And then the next paragraph, he talks about, there is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. So I guess what I want to say is, for a while now, even though I am abstinent, I have, and I don't know if it's my normal disposition, but I've always had like this cloud following me around. Like, it's hard for me to be extremely joyful, even in a joyful situation. We went on vacation, and it was fun, but I'm not sure what it is. Maybe I need to pray more or have more faith. Or, you know, it says most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. So I think I just need to learn to be grateful and satisfied and for all my blessings and, you know, accept, you know, they say acceptance is the key. And I think I just need to learn to be grateful and in acceptance. To feel better. I mean, so I'm working through those things, and I'm grateful. And I'm grateful to be abstinent. I'm grateful to be part of this meeting. And bottom line, I think I just need to pray more. Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Penny C., followed by Rebecca B. Penny C.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you, Rita, for the service you're giving. This is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And, you know, reading this paragraph, listening to other people share, as I have now, this isn't the third hour today, it occurs to me that the most, or one of the fun things for me that I've acquired since working the steps and living in the steps is that I can laugh at myself. I live alone. I have a lot of fun laughing at some of the silly things that I do. You know, it used to be if I spilled something, I would be, you know, down on myself. You know, you don't know. You know, you have no common sense. And how could you have done that? And literally, I make a game out of it now. It's like, and do the next right thing I was taught. Just what's the next, you know, get a little fun out of it and carry on, you know, where it was so different before. So, you know, it's nice to not take myself so seriously. Life wasn't fun before OA in the steps. Life was a drudgery. Life was, how am I going to get through this day? And, you know, what's the next thing that's going to go wrong? And that's totally different now. You know, I have my times once in a while where I might get down a little bit, but I have so many people to call. And I love the people that I can call who tell me the truth, who discuss, you know, things seriously with me, but in the end, we can laugh. And so many of my conversations with sponsees end with that kind of on that kind of a note. And you know, with God's help, this will continue. You know, it will continue for a lifetime. For me, it's been, you know, 32 years coming up, and it just gets better and better. So thank you again, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny C. Rebecca B., followed by Marissa L. Rebecca B.?
Yes, hi. May I be heard?
Yes, you are.
Great, thank you. Hi, this is Rebecca B. I am from north of Boston, a recovered compulsive overeater, calling this morning from New Mexico and living in an incredible state of gratitude. I'm here with a friend from program, from another 12-step recovery program, and am living out, you know, really my life's dream and calling. And where I am today is all about living in faith. And I realized this morning when I woke up, we're here for a conference which starts later today, that, oh, I can get on this line. We're in a different time zone, and I can actually get on and I can share. And it just brought my heart such joy. The line that sticks out to me, or the two lines really, in this reading, are talking about the poor chap that committed suicide and who could not or would not see our way of life. And so, you know, for me, for a long, long time, I found food at a really young age, probably younger than 4, and it saved my life, and until it actually ruined and controlled my life. But I'm no longer angry at it. I actually understand and see the gifts that it brought in some really difficult times as a very young child. However, I also lived my whole life with suicidal tendencies and ideations, and was writing suicide notes at like age 6, 7, 8 years old. And I could not and would not fast forward to only about 5 years ago when I got recovered with the food. I could not and would not see our way of life, really starting with abstinence. I could not imagine putting down sugar. It was my drug. It was my everything. It was my God. It was my safety. It was my answer. It was my solution. It was my problem. It was my death warrant. And I remember the moment that I did choose to finally say yes and to put it down. And I actually thought I was going to die. And I'm not kidding. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done. And what I didn't know then is the, and I don't know this for a fact, it's just my story. I've not had a doctor confirm this, but what I have come to believe anyway from my experience is that sugar, not only am I completely allergic to it, that I have a chemical reaction to it, but it also brought about for me incredible depression. And I had no idea. I did not realize that a lot of my suicidal tendencies came not only from life and an inability to cope with it, but also the effects this drug had on me chemically. So I could not or would not see our way of life as simple as putting down the food that was killing me. And until I did, there was no hope. So I just want to always go back to that, because without that basic fundamental truth, the whole thing, none of it would work for me. And when I did put it down and do put it down every single day, the rest of it is just amazing. And, you know, recovery is progressive. So thank you so much for giving me the chance to share. I appreciate it. I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Rebecca B. Marissa L., followed by Patty T. We may have time for a few more shares after that. Marissa? Press star 1 to unmute.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Hello?
Oh, it's Larissa. I am sorry. Larissa.
That's okay. This is Larissa L. calling in from Corvallis, Oregon. And thank you, everybody, so much for being on the meeting. So great to hear people's shares. And I just wanted to share on two things. The first one being that when I came into program, I had faith. In fact, I think I had a lot of faith in that I had a lot of knowledge about who God was, or, you know, what it is to have faith in God, who God is, all these things. But I didn't really have a faith that worked for me, because I was still so much struggling with the disease, with binging, with purging. I prayed a lot of selfish prayers. God, please get me out of this. I don't want to be bulimic anymore. I don't want to be binging anymore. I prayed all these selfish prayers. And I had this faith, but it wasn't working for me. And it wasn't until coming into program and beginning to recover that I realized my faith wasn't working, because it was all still about me. And it wasn't about, you know, a bigger purpose than just me and what I wanted and my life going really well and ending up on top and, you know, being better than other people. And what I found is that when I wake up and I pray the prayer that we read in the Big Book, how may I be useful to the person who is still suffering? How may I be useful today? God, please make my hours of this day useful. That, and seeing God take that prayer and actually do something with it, help me be in situations where I'm of real use to other people. That is the joy of living, to go from feeling, I really identify with what was shared about the suicidal thoughts and just depression and feeling so useless, to go from that state of like feeling so useless and hopeless and like there was no purpose for my life, despite having what I considered, you know, a great amount of faith, to being of real usefulness to other people, and especially the gift of getting to share this program, which works. It really works with people who, you know, other people who struggle in the same way that I do. It's just, that is a joy that I have never found anywhere else. And I have traveled across the world. I have, you know, had many romances, have experienced many of these, like, some of this, what the world would call the best things in life. And none of it compares to the joy of getting to share and see other people recover and be of real usefulness, even in just getting to share recovery with people and getting to share the program. And I'm just so grateful for that today. And that is a source of joy that never runs dry. That is a well that never dries up. And that's just amazing. I'm so grateful to God for that, and just for a faith that really works, that comes through working this program. With that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Larissa L. Patty T.
Hi, did you call me?
I did, Patty.
I was unmuting. Hello, everyone. Happy
All right.
Thursday.
Hey, happy Thursday. Patty T., you're on.
your service.
See, we're not a glum lot. We're laughing.
No, we're not. Oh, my gosh. You know, and underneath all that levity is deadly earnestness, because faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. And, you know, I've been on the Vision meeting now for 10 months. And, in you know, consistently, and I can't even begin to tell you, the person I was a year ago could not and would not see our way of life, because I still was in the food, and I just wasn't willing to work the steps. I just wasn't willing to do the work, and I had to literally pray, you know. Former abstinents and fellows in this program had shown me that the only way to get out of that spiritual suicide was to ask God for God's help. And I did that finally in earnest. And even though it was quiet, and God was right there. So today, you know, I see that faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through me, or I will perish spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And that looks like, you know, I'm not without feelings. I'm not without fear. I'm not without character defects. I'm exposed to them daily. I can see them now. Before, I couldn't see anything. I was the victim in every situation. But today I can. And yesterday, I'll just share that I had a conversation with a fellow over a 10th step I'd done, and it was all about fear and selfishness. And she helped me see that you know, these things come up for us so that we can move closer to God. You know, I'm not without fear. I'm not without character defects. But as long as I use the tools of this program as outlined in this book, and reach out to fellows who have the faith that I lack in that moment, that is how I continue to have faith working in me and through me for others that may have similar situations and call on me. And I just think it's remarkable, and I'm so grateful today. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. And we have time for one more share, if somebody would like to take that slot.
Marin K.
Marin K., you're on. Thank you, Marin.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone who shared. I got on a little late, but I just want to say that, yes, faith works 24 hours a day. I have to chop it up into 1 hour sometimes a day. And giving it away is the joy of living. And you guys saved my life. I was a 60-pound anorexic, and I just want you to thank you. Thank you, Steps. Thank you, sponsors. Thank you, OA members, because without you, I would have never lived, and I would have died. So this program is a life and death program, and I am truly grateful to all of my fellows. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Marin. We have about 2 minutes if someone else would like to share. Any burning desires?
This is Betty C. Can I be heard?
Yes, Betty, you go ahead and share. Take 2 minutes, okay?
Okay. This is so great to be able to come onto a live meeting. Usually I only get to the recorded. And the reading this morning was especially, you know, at first it shocked me when it said, you know, a chap committed suicide in my home. And I thought, wow, how awful that would be. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I've watched two people, and plus myself, slowly committing suicide throughout our life. Two did not live through the disease. By the grace of God, I have. And daily following this program, I am no longer committing suicide. I am living life to the fullest and the happiest I've ever been. And that's about all I have to say. I just want to thank my fellows for being here. You have all helped me to be where I am today. Everything you share speaks to me. Every thought, every tear, every laughter. And no, we are not a glum lot. Thank goodness. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you. And with that, I want to thank everyone who was on the meeting today, whether you shared or not. We need all of you as much as you need us. And I want to thank Elena A.M., Libby E., Nan K., Cindy D., Jordan L., for doing the month of March service. And Ramona A. will be our newcomer greeter. So stay on the line if you're a newcomer. Let's see. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Cindy D. please read A Vision for You?
Thanks, Mo. This is Cindy, and I'm gratefully recovered in Texas. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.